Ramsey TV.
Did you see that I mailed you, that I posted the part six of the Missouri Conference? If you haven't seen that, I'm going to link to it down here. So part six, I think there's two more parts coming. People have wondered, where's the rest of the Missouri Conference? I'm being a little sneaky about it, aren't I? Just when you think nothing's coming, then boom, you get a big surprise. So watch part six. I think it's awesome. Talk about the humility, the sacrifice of Christ. And then there's a great Q&A session. Some people in this audience were at that conference. And like I say, I have the smartest YouTube audience on YouTube. Yeah, you people think of questions that I've never even thought of. Welcome to the edge of the bottom of the Floridian Peninsula. This is Martin Zender, ready to launch. Yeah, I'm ready to get off the planet. I don't belong here. This is not my world. These are not my people. Some of them are nice. I like a lot of the people on this planet. Others not so crazy about. But, you know, it's not my decision. God said he's going to do this. Jesus Christ is incomplete without his body. He's the head. He needs his body. So he's going to bring his body. It's that simple. I mean, it's not complicated, really. Christ is called the head of the body. Look at the analogy. If you got a head sitting on a table, it's kind of gross. I mean, it's just not right. You need a body attached to it. I mean, Christ is the head of the body. And so he won't start reconciling the universe to himself, completing the all in all, as it says in Ephesians, until his body joins him. And he's been shaping it, calling it out for 2,000 years now. We are the complement of Christ. We fill up Christ, and he fills up the universe. But he doesn't start filling up the universe until we fill up him. Profound truths. Ephesians chapter 1, it's a wild and crazy chapter. So somebody asked me, there's a person in the body of Christ who's not quite sure that the snatching away is actually going to take us out and get us so we don't have to go through the tribulation. I'm not making fun of this person at all. I'm not. I promise you. It's, you know, people have fears. People have concerns. It requires faith to believe. You know what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4 about the snatching away and the fact that we're not appointed to indignation. Galatians 1:4, will be extricated out of the coming, extricated out of the current wicked eon. I believe that. It sounds crazy. It sounds improbable, but that makes it even better. It makes it even better to believe. This person asked me, well, how do I get through the tribulation? I said, you're not going to have to worry about getting through the tribulation. Don't worry about it. Yeah, but let's say I did have to. All that, you know, what if? Like, how do I prepare for the tribulation? I said, well, just make sure you have extra toilet paper. Yeah, make sure you have a couple spare, you know, packs, hopefully. Rolls, if there's no packs available. And of course it was a joke, because you're not going to prepare for the tribulation. Even people who are going through it, how do you prepare? I don't know, do push-ups, you know? Make sure you have an extra couple gallons of water. There's no preparation for it. So my friend said to me, you know, the system's going down, the world's system. You know, they're going to come out with the vaccine, and it's going to be, the beast is coming, the beast is here. And we got to get off the grid, Martin, we got to get off the grid. I said, well, the grid, yeah. And then she said, it's now or never. I said, well, if those are my only two choices, now or never, I guess it's never. And she laughed, because it was kind of funny. Like, now or never, those are my only two choices? Well, I'm sure not going to get off the grid now, because, you know, I have to run and then eat lunch. So it seems a little inconvenient to get off the grid. So I call myself these days the gridman. I'm the gridman. I'm the guy staying on the grid. I did the same thing in why? Because where's faith? I'm not mocking anyone's lack of faith. I pray for everybody to come to a greater realization of the truth and to have more faith. You remember Y2K? Well, back when the 1999 turned to 2000, they said it was going to be a horror show. They said that the system was going to crash. The computers weren't programmed to go past to make that jump in the millennial jump. I don't know. It was complicated. I didn't understand any of it. I had a neighbor back then. I was living in Ohio, and my neighbor's stockpiling food. My neighbor's just shoving it in the barns, you know. And Martin, aren't you prepared for Y2K? I said, no. Aren't you going to prepare? No, I'm not going to prepare. I'm not going to do anything. Don't you even? No, I don't want nothing. I don't want nothing. Because why? I don't know. This is what, well, I think I know. It's because I love to trust God. It's a childlike trust. I mean, I'm like a child. In some ways, in many ways, I am. Jesus said, become as a child. You know, when you got these kids jumping on his lap, hey, Jesus, is it Y2K yet? We don't care. Hey, Jesus, should we get off the grid? And Jesus says, no, you don't have to get off the grid. Just get on my lap. Get off, you can get off the grid or get on my lap. Get off the grid or get on my lap. I would prefer to get on his lap. It's a lot easier. It's complicated to get off the grid. So I'm the gridman, you see. I am going to dare, I dare God and dare Christ to take care of me. I dare them. It's like, hey, here comes the crash of the system. What are you going to do now? Oh, by the way, I am Brohammer. This is the shirt that my friend got me. I threatened to wear it with my black jacket, and now here it is. Here it is. It's a big day. Brohammer, that's me. Thank you, Wild Boar. Otherwise known as Larry from Ohio. So, I didn't prepare for Y2K. The thing skipped over, nothing happened, and my friend had a lot of stupid supplies, and I was just like, living easy. Living easy. How do you prepare? I'd rather not. I would rather not. It's the same with having kids. How do you prepare for having kids? I heard a great quote one time. This guy said, you know, I once had six theories on child rearing and no children. Now I have six children and no theories. Yeah, because reality introduces you to reality. You can't get ready for it. You can't prepare for having kids. You just freaking have them. It's the same with marriage. I wanted to be married, you know, back in 1982. And I just wanted to be married, you know. Of course, my fiance wanted a ceremony. I'm going, I don't want no ceremony. Let's just do it. I just wanted to be married. I wanted to get into it. No fanfare. No, nothing. Just start being married. Well, it was a compromise. We got married at her farmhouse. But when I love to watch those videos on YouTube where weddings go bad. I love to see a wedding go bad. I love to see people falling down. I love to see dogs running down the aisle. People forgetting their lines. I just love all of it. I can't get enough of it. Because to me, it's so ridiculous. It's like you have to have this prelude, this build-up that's completely unnecessary, if you ask me. I just like to get on with it. And again, it's the same with a lot of things in life. People think that they can't get married. This is the thing today. This is ruining lives. Ruining lives. Maybe I'm helping somebody by saying this. People think, well, I can't get married until I make enough money. I can't get married until I've graduated from college and gotten my Uber degree or whatever you call those things, master's degree. And they have so many now stipulations that they have to be totally prepared. I got to have everything ready. I got to have enough money. I got to have a house. Oh, yeah, some people have to buy a house before they get married. It's like absolutely ridiculous. And by the time they get married, they're 45 years old, right? They can't have kids anymore, and they get so used to living alone that they can't be married. So it's just like, it's a mess. It's a disaster. Just jump in. Jump in. Live with this person. Just do it. Just be married. Just do it. You'll figure it out on the way. That's it. It's OJT, baby. On the job training. Yeah, if I had to go through the tribulation, it'd be OJT. Nobody's ever gone through anything like this, so you take it one day at a time. And you might die. So I might die. What are you going to do? How do you prepare for your death? You don't. In 1980, as you know, I bicycled across the United States. How did I get ready for that? By bicycling across the United States? No. I didn't get ready for it by doing it. I was riding 20 miles a day. I did a couple 80 miles, you know, training rides with packs. Nothing extravagant, but just getting used to riding the bike. And it's the idea is you'll get there while you're doing it. You know, you'll figure it out when you get there. Never been to LA, never been out west. What am I going to do? Go on a two-day desert program where I get used to them, to the Mojave Desert? Nah, just get there. When I get to the Mojave Desert, I get to the Mojave Desert. And that's exactly it. Today, when I run, a lot of people have these pre-run programs. They get all restricted. I don't do nothing. I just start running. I go out the door, start running. I recommend this to you. You're not supposed to stretch cold muscles anyway. You're not supposed to stretch cold muscles. What are you, crazy? I just go out and I start running. See, I'm a very simple guy that way. I just like to do the thing. I just get out and do it. This preparation stuff makes me nuts. It's too hard. I don't like to do hard things, really. I don't like to do hard things in order to do hard things. I just would like to do the hard things. And of course, this job is just the craziest thing ever. How do you prepare for what I do now? You don't. You just do it. I read a great, great quote in Reader's Digest one time. It says, if you jump off a cliff, you will build wings on the way down. And in a way, people don't really find out what's in them until they jump off the cliff. Because if you're sitting on your sofa and you're trying to find this desire in you, you're trying to find this drive, you can't do it. But if you if you put yourself in a situation where you have to do it, then you will do it. It's like, Martin, how do you get the inspiration to write every day? Because if I don't, I'll die. If I don't write, I'll die. How do you get the inspiration to do your show every day? Because if I don't do it, then I'll die. I mean, it's just, you have to do it. God throws you in an era where you're the one doing it and you have to do it. It's just, I tell you, it's on-the-job training. And I actually like on-the-job training. It's great. So, I mean, when Jesus knocked it all down when he said, take no thought for tomorrow. Don't even think about it. That sounds like crazy advice. Like, how do you get ready for tomorrow? I don't. It's all I can do to get through today. Jesus said that, right? Sufficient unto the day are the evils thereof. I got enough evil today. I'm not going to go ahead of it and try to figure out what I'm going to do about the next evil. What if there's a bigger evil tomorrow? What if there's a bigger evil the next day? Like I say, how do I prepare for the tribulation? Just have a couple $100 saved up. You know, make sure the floor is clean. It's like, can't get ready for the tribulation. What do I know about snatching away? Nothing, except that it's going to happen. How do you prepare for the snatching away? Take flying lessons? What am I going to do? You know, I just throw myself at it. I trust God that when the time comes, he will do it. Israel in the wilderness is the perfect example. They had never been in a situation like this before. And so God says, I'll take care of you. Just watch what I do. Just watch this. Watch this. It's on me. This is on me. This little journey through the wilderness, my treat. I got this. So Israel goes out there, and God makes sure they have enough for the day. Now, that drives most people crazy. Many people ruin their lives by trying to build bigger barns. I have a friend that has done this and kind of like wrecked things. The good life that he had, he wrecked it. Because he wanted to build bigger barns. He wanted to have bigger storage areas. He wanted to put more in the barns. Wanted to have a more cushy life. Wanted to be able to see ahead and be safe. Wanted to have that nest egg, you know, the old nest egg. Yeah, people work their whole lives to get this, what they call the nest egg. I've talked about this before. So they feel secure and comfortable so they can retire. In the meantime, they practically kill themselves trying to get there. So they're screwed on both ends. The nest egg sometimes doesn't work out because the finances crash, the stock market crashes, people lose their stock. It's a horrible stuff. I don't envy. I don't wish it on anybody. And in the meantime, they're stressing themselves out to get to this point where they think everything's going to be great. That's the problem, is thinking that you're going to reach a point in life where everything's great. No, don't have to worry about nothing. Well, you never get to that point. Well, I'll finally be happy when I lose 20 pounds. I'll finally be happy when I marry the perfect person. I'll finally be happy when I get this job. It's always something else, always something else. You just got to admit that you're really not going to be happy in this life. You're just not going to be happy. That will deliver you. It's so great to get to that point. Then you have no more expectations. I had another friend that said, I've decided not to have any more expectations in life. And ever since I've adopted that mindset, I've never been disappointed. Yeah. How can you be disappointed when you don't have expectations? You live a day at a time. Get off the grid. No, just don't get off. If you want to get off the grid, if you think it'd be exciting, if you think it would be fun, but there's an appeal there. I understand it completely. I hate technology. Sometimes I wish I could throw my phone into the Atlantic Ocean. You know, I can't stand it. So it's appealing. You know me, I'm a simple guy. I like to live simply. I challenge myself to see how little I can get by with, not how much. That's the way I tend to go. So I definitely see the appeal of getting off the grid. But where's the faith? I mean, it's like, what if you're in the thing that crashes? Well, I guess that's God's problem. But if you get out of the thing before it crashes, then you're going to be safe. See, that's almost like building the barns and stuffing the barns with this extra food. Oh, Israel could not, they weren't allowed to store more than one day worth of food. They could pick double food. They had the manna sitting on the ground. They had the quails falling out of the sky. Oh, that wasn't a quail. What was it? A rooster. Oh, sorry. They were allowed to take a double portion on Friday. I don't know if they called it Friday then. What did they call it? Probably the sixth day of the week. And then on the Sabbath, they could rest. They had to rest. And so they had the extra food. But if they tried any other day to get ahead, nope, God didn't let them. Nope, you can't get ahead. That food would rot. It would rot. Same thing happens today. Same principle. It's not because of law. It's just because it's a natural principle. You know. You try to get this cushy walk. You try to get this cushy place where you're going to be settled in. Yeah, I mean, I get the appeal of it. Who doesn't want that in the flesh? Who doesn't want it? But God tends to not let that happen because he wants you on the edge. When I say I'm on the edge of the bottom of the Florida Peninsula, it's not just geographic. It's not just topographical truth. It's life truth. Like I say, sometimes I'm on the edge of the bottom of everything. Yeah, to the bottom of everything. So if I'm on the grid, I'm the gridman, then I dare God. That sounds terrible. You're daring God? No, God likes it. That's the way I look at it. It's like, hey, you see, I love when Moses said to him, "Well, you said you're going to take care of this people. What are you going to do now, destroy them? It'd make you look bad." God says, "Yeah, you know, you're right. Well, you said you took care of the lilies. They don't toil. They don't think. They don't plan ahead. The birds of the air, they don't sit there trying to figure out their 401ks. They're not checking the stock market every other day to see if they're going to be comfortable tomorrow. And yet God takes care of them. Might be a little ragged. Might be a little rough sometimes. But it's faith. I think of these people that go into, like, these people become monks. It's not because they don't trust themselves. It's the whole every man's battle thing, right? The Christians, of course, had this great crusade against sex. That's their worst enemy, sex. The worst enemy they ever had, Christians. And they hate it. They don't mind eternal torment. They don't mind believing every demonic doctrine comes down the pipe. But by God, you better not look at a woman with lust in your heart. How else can you look at a woman? Anyway, so they join these monasteries and monkeries, and it's really, where does faith come in? It's not that they're overcoming their flesh by the Spirit of God. It's like they're getting away from all the temptations. I'm sorry, but that's not heroic. It's stupid, because you're not counting on God, the Spirit of God, to strengthen you. You're counting on your flesh to get you away from every situation where you're tempted. That's why I hate the book Every Man's Battle. It's not overcoming things by the Spirit of God. It's not trusting God in the midst of the, quote, problem, unquote, is that we're going to get away from all the problems. Did Jesus do that? No, he walked in right into the middle of the problems. I would rather have a job where I work with like 100 Playboy models or 100 swimsuit models, and then I go home to my wife and everything's cool. That's the Spirit of God. That's powerful. That's great. But these guys that go away and hide, they don't trust God. They don't trust the Spirit. It's like the Spirit doesn't exist. The keeping power of God doesn't exist to these people. I'm looking the same thing with this preparation for everything, to prepare for everything. They don't trust God with it. I mean, if I'm challenging some people here, great. I'm not angry at people for having this mindset. But how do I prepare for the tribulation? How do you prepare for the snatching away? How do you prepare, you know, for anything that's outrageous and that you've never seen before? Even if it's raising kids, starting a new job, bicycling across the country, running 4 miles. You just go out and try it. Just go out and do it. And then you trust God. So you know, remember what Paul says, and I'll close here with Romans 8. He says, what will be separating us from the love of God? You know, he talks about hunger, nakedness, famine, sword. You can add your own shit to that. You know, depression, no motivation, fatigue. Paul says, in all these things, we're more than conquering. You don't conquer by getting out of them. You don't conquer by going off the grid. You conquer by staying in the grid, and you taste the keeping power of God. You don't conquer the flesh by getting away from all flesh. You jump into flesh. You're in the world, but not of it. In the world, but not of it. And the keeping power of God. And you trust it. And you jump on the lap of Jesus. That's how I'm preparing for everything. I'm jumping on the lap of Jesus Christ. In my case, Christ Jesus. And I'm looking up at him and I'm saying, do your thing. Here I am. Do your thing. And you know what? He does.